Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Despite the recent rally in January, up until today that is, the economy is weakening substantially. That means earnings are falling right now and should cascade in the very near future. And that means the rally on Wall Street is yet another head fake in a series of head fakes that is going to prove to be most dangerous for the fear of missing out FOMO chasers. Even the CEO of Bank of America, Brian Moynihan, is warning about the coming recession, saying, quote, "Our baseline scenario contemplates a mild recession. But we also add to that a downside scenario. And what this results in is 95% of our reserve methodology is weighted towards a recessionary environment in 2023. This is unusual for Mr. Moynihan because he has always been very bullish in the past, but is now warning about a mild recession and the possibility of a much deeper one on the bank's latest earnings report. This pessimistic case, which is more negative than it was in the previous quarter, calls for unemployment to rise to 5.5% early in 2023 and remain at 5% or above through the end of 2024, Brian Moynihan said. The economic data underwrites and supports Bank of America's newly found fears. The National Federation of Independent Businesses Small Business Optimism Index for December posted its second weakest reading since 2013. The index declined 2.1 points to 89.8, marking the 12th consecutive month below the 49-year average of 98. And since 64% of new jobs created come from small business, this doesn't bode well for the labor market, which has seen two back-to-back months of falling aggregate hours worked. Meaning, while the economy may still be creating a positive number of net new jobs on the headline figure, those jobs are part-time and inferior in nature. The New York Empire State Manufacturing Survey for January came in at -32.9. That was the lowest level since May 2020 and the fifth worst reading in the survey's history. The bad news continues on. Both of the ISM surveys, manufacturing and services, are now in contractionary territory. The services index, which is by far the largest sector of the economy, decreased to 49.6 in December, sinking 6.9 points from 56.5 in the prior month. December was the first drop below the neutral 50 threshold following 30 consecutive months of expansion of the services sector. Continuing on with the bad news, Microsoft announced this morning that is laying off 10,000 people, which accounts for 5% of the entire workforce. CEO Satya Nadella stated that the move is due to weakening demand in the tech sector. More bad news. Industrial production, which measures manufacturing, mining, and the utility output, decreased 0.7% in December, its second consecutive monthly drop after a downwardly revised 0.6% drop recorded in November. Economists polled by Wall Street Journal expected industrial production to decrease by just 0.1%. And so much for the healthy consumer. The all-important U.S. retail sales figure fell in December, dropping by 1.1%. It was the largest monthly decline since December of 21, and every category, except for building materials, groceries, and sporting goods, saw sales drop from the prior month. Economists had expected sales to fall by just 0.8% for the month, according to Refinitiv. The November number was also revised down to 1%. When adjusted for inflation, retail sales declined year over year in December, which shows you how slow the economy actually is at this juncture, especially when noting that last December was negatively impacted by the spread of the Omicron variant. This recession is going to be very acute, and it is just around the corner. We've already had the first half of 22 was recessionary. We had a bounce back in the second half of 22, a small, short, truncated, attenuated bounce in the economy. But we're going to have a continuation of this recession, and it's going to intensify in 23. However, the value of the stock market is extremely high, according to the two most important historical metrics: total market cap of equities divided by the underlying GDP of the economy, that's 155%, and the price to sales of the S&P 500 is 2.33. Both those figures are off the charts. They're off the charts, historically speaking. The rationale for these absurd valuations is that the Fed is about to ride to the rescue by returning to ZERP and QE. Conversely, the Fed is, in actuality, they're hiking rates, albeit at a slower pace. That's the new easing, don't you know? The new accommodative Fed is one that's just not hiking at 50 or 75 basis points, just 25. And they're still engaged with quantitative tightening at a record $95 billion monthly pace. But back to the point about this recent short-lived rally. Really wasn't much of a, you know, or earth-shattering move anyway. I think the S&P is up about 2% on the year. Just the rally off the starting gate of 2023 was all about a 10% drop in the U.S. dollar since September. And that's a significant drop in the currency. Now, a lower dollar equals a bull market in the riskiest assets, according to the Wall Street trading algos. That's how they're programmed. And that, of course, led to a boom in Bitcoin, meme stocks, bankrupt stocks like Bed Bath & Beyond, and the junkiest of junk bonds. So the three reasons for this dollar rally are: China's reopening. It's viewed to be better for Europe than the U.S. because the European Union is China's largest trading partner, and that is euro bullish and dollar bearish. The Bank of Japan has been threatening to remove its yield curve control on JGBs, Japanese government bonds. A removal of yield curve control would have sent the yen surging against the U.S. dollar. Dollar lower, yen higher, because the Bank of Japan would have to print a lot less of its currency to keep yields from rising. This rumor was promulgated by everybody on Wall Street, including, you know, Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg. Everybody was talking about the dangers that Japan was about to relax its yield curve control. It was to follow the recent partial relaxation of the JGB trading limit of 0.25% all the way up to 0.5%. However, the Bank of Japan did nothing last night in the way of raising the upper limit to the JGB 10-year note yield. It isn't much of a mystery as to why. I didn't really think they were going to do so, but it was a risk, and I'm all about mitigating risk here. It isn't much of a mystery as to why the Bank of Japan is afraid to let go of its control of yields completely. Letting JGBs, Japanese government bonds, float to a market rate would probably mean their 10-year note yield would skyrocket above 4% in a matter of days, and then head higher from there. I mean, what else would you expect when Japan's national debt to GDP ratio is 225%? They have a quadrillion yen in outstanding debt. It's an insolvent nation. And inflation is now running to 4% and higher. And such a move higher in rates from 0.5% to 4% would render the fragile Japanese economy in shambles immediately. And the third reason for this recent fall in the dollar is that the CPI, this is the biggest reason, consumer price inflation in the U.S. is clearly, not surprisingly, as I've been telling you would happen, disinflating. So forget about it. You know, there's a lot of people saying, oh, we're going to go to hyperinflation. Well, we probably are going to hyperinflation, intractable inflation, in the future, right now. And don't we care what's going to happen now more than what's going to happen a year or two from now? I mean, don't we want to make money in every quarter if possible, or at least every year if possible? or at least try to beat the major averages rather than doing philosophical investing? Well, we're clearly disinflating now. CPI was 9.1% last summer. It was 6.5% at the end of 2022. Now, prices are still rising, but they are rising at a much lower rate. That's the second derivative, the rate of change of the rate of change is falling. And disinflation means the Fed is almost done tightening. I think that's true. However, even though that may be true, and I think it is, it completely overlooks Mr. Bullish. Think about the Jim Labenthals of the world who come on CNBC's halftime report and tell you that the recession is never going to happen and that last year's market collapse isn't unimportant. It was a mistake. Calls it a mistake. Listen closely, Mr. Labenthal and all ye other permabulls. While it is true that the economy is disinflating, do not overlook why it's disinflating. Because if you do, you're completely overlooking the slowdown, the sharp slowdown of economic growth and earnings. That's why the economy is disinflating. Now, less Fed means a lower US dollar, at least for now. But the ensuing global recession is coming, and recessions have always been bad for risk assets, of course. And they've been at least partially beneficial for the US dollar at the onset until we get a genuine capitulation from our central bank. And I will let you know when that happens. When we have a genuine capitulation that leads to a genuine fall and a relaxation in financial conditions, a loosening of financial conditions, I'll let you know. And we will change our portfolio. Now, I have been waiting for the Bank of Japan to officially chicken out on allowing its bond market to freely function before finding another good entry point on gold miners. Physical gold is a buy, and we hold that. And it's a buy and hold now. But miners need to be traded, like we did on the last time, because they are stocks with higher volatility attributes than gold. Look what happened today. Market down, stocks down, gold miners down. Gold miners are stocks. Gold is money. Two different things. A higher dollar and falling real interest rates, which is what I see going forward, are good for precious metals, but they're not great for miners. I would like to see a falling dollar on a more secular basis and falling real interest rates. That should be the case in the second half of this year as the economy cascades and starts to falter in a more salient fashion. In the meantime, we remain in bond and bond proxies, which are working well for us this year. And we still maintain a good amount of appropriate defense in the portfolio, short, high yield debt, and also two other short market positions. Patience is very crucial at this time as we wait for the resumption of the bear market due to sharply lower earnings. Earnings are going to tumble. Fair value for the S&P 500 is about 35% lower from here. Watch out below.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.